This is Johnson and Tofty on Hot Talk 1140.
Are you done picking on me?
No. Am I picking
you
on you?
You going to make me cry?
That'll happen.
Watch me cry.
You won't
cry. Tears of hate.
The only time you ever cry is when it gets you something. And I mean that nice.
It's so true, though. That's
I know
the
it's true.
Part.
It's scary, ain't it?
I cry when I want to.
That's right.
Yes.
Okay.
If you're tired,
could you turn it on right now?
Could I cry right now?
Yeah.
Yeah, I could if I really wanted to.
I want to see it. Turn on the waterworks
How
for
could
us.
I cry? You want me to cry?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know if
is
I can it, do it.
Is there anything we could say or remind you of that would make you cry?
No, I could just make myself
just that
cry.
She works here.
Okay. Let her look at her paycheck.
Sure, be well.
No, that's
four
that,
hours.
It's one way, yeah. Okay, here we go. I got a way to make you cry, but go ahead and just go back to reading the news.
Okay.
Okay.
I don't trust you.
It'll happen
you.
When you least expect it.
If you're tired of seeing abandoned shopping carts and vacant lots and apartment complexes, Las Vegas City Councilman Michael McDonald agrees with you. If they don't, McDonald's bill will give this. Ow! Ow!
It didn't hurt that bad.
Yeah, it did.
Well, I don't. We'll cry.
I give up. I quit. I'm done.
I quit.
I'm done.
Time now for part two of the Fake Show podcast featuring my former and favorite co-host, Ken Johnson. Some of you may remember the Johnson and Tofty show at KKLZ. It was truly the glory days of that station with an all-star cast surrounding us, including the late, great Dan Lee, Dennis Mitchell, our news guy, plus great producers like Bruno and Derwin, and the best promotions person ever in radio, Lynn Obuchon. And if you're wondering why we had so many great guests and giveaways, it was all Lynn. So we left off part one with me saying that love doll attached to helium balloons was the dumbest and scariest thing that Ken and I ever did because it was heading through McCarran airspace. But then Ken pointed out that wasn't the scariest thing. But man, I've never been more afraid.
Oh yeah, you have.
I have.
There was only one thing scarier than that, and that was when Steve Wynn had made an appearance on TV News and had talked about his idea for canals downtown. And, you know, before the Fremont Street Experience, they wanted to do something.
That was kind of a very Stupakian type of an idea.
Yeah,
I have
that
to
was
say.
Stupakian.
Yeah.
And then we did the Stupidian thing, and that was to get his phone number from someone I still won't name because we promised.
I couldn't even tell you who that was.
Oh, I remember who it was.
Yeah?
Yeah. It was a TV news guy who was no longer in town for a long time.
Wow.
But he gave us Steve Wynn's home phone number. So we called him up and put him on the air without his permission. Another thing that would have gotten us fired in about a half a second today.
Yeah.
And we talked to him and he was a really good sport. We told him, you know, and we said nothing but nice things to him.
Right. But I recall it being very straightforward and he really didn't want to be on the phone with us.
No.
As soon as he could, he was
much less
get off.
On the air. He was really upset that we had called. And so he called after the show. This was a Friday morning. And like idiots, we didn't take the call. If we had taken the call and apologized profusely, everything would have been fine. But we didn't take the call. I said, tell them we're gone. Tell them we're gone. And so we leave for the weekend.
By the way, how much heat did the receptionists have to take because of us?
I think we killed a couple of receptionists.
I think we did.
Yeah.
We went through a few.
But we left for the weekend. And Monday morning, we're both a little shaken. And we're talking to each other. Did anything weird happen at your house? And it turns out that he had, you know, some computer thing, call each of our houses every 20 minutes and then hang up, which was his way of saying, hey, I can find you guys too.
Yeah. And you could hear the computer generator part. It was very a cold sound.
Robocall
thing. You could tell what it was. Yeah. And I was just, yeah.
Yeah. For a couple of weeks, we were worried about starting our cars. That guy scared the hell out of us.
Yeah.
And for good reason.
And rightly so.
He's Steve Wynn. So we got a little smarter after that.
Yeah, not much.
Nothing to tell.
It gets us up to about 1999, and a lot of great things happened at KKLZ through the years.
Wonderful anniversary shows. We had Dana Plato, bless her heart and rest her soul. We had her working for us for a time, but she was the worst. I mean, she just couldn't be cruel like we needed her to be. She's just a good-hearted person that wouldn't go up to celebrities and ask them horrible questions.
Yeah.
Yeah, she couldn't do it.
There was only one thing she did well, besides acting. I know you were going to say that. She was really a sweet girl, and it's too bad. I know that you were going to have her at your house for Thanksgiving or something, and she didn't show up.
It was this close in my, you can't see, of course, but I'm holding my fingers really close together. She almost came for Thanksgiving, and just at the last minute flaked, you know. But that would have been a fun story to tell. It was an interesting thing. Right near me where I lived in the lakes at the time, my wife and kids and I, she held up a video store, which is not the kind of behavior you would expect from a former child star. I don't know when we talked to the clerk at one point or another, but we just started doing, as we did, songs about her. And it was all to the tune of the girl from Ipanema, the girl from Different Strokes. We did about five versions of it.
Sure.
And over time, she went on another competing radio station that is now in the company that I work for.
Yeah, way to go, turncoat.
Right? She went on and bashed us and everything. And so we wrote a song about that. And eventually she came on.
I think they did a pumpkin
our show.
Drop.
Oh, yeah.
With our faces on them, right?
Yeah, they were smashing pumpkins with our faces on it and stuff. Yeah. And so we had to get together with her, and we did.
But she ended up in some kind of a rehab facility, and I don't know how, again, we were able to get phone numbers, but we got the phone number and were able to call her in this facility, and she picked it up. It was literally like a payphone in this facility,
right.
And she answered, and we told her, it's your pals, Johnson and Tofty, and we actually kind of hit it off a little bit and talked to her. And she became part of the show, like you say, and then went on one of our anniversary shows over at Bally's, I think it was, and Todd Bridges from Different Strokes joined us as well.
It was fun. It was crazy.
Yeah. Those anniversary shows were great because there were surprises. Lynn, who was doing promotions then, was the best I've ever worked with. I'm sure that you could say the same. And suddenly, as we're doing the anniversary show this one time, the Doobie Brothers walk up.
Yeah, and just start playing. Amazing.
Tom Johnston and Patrick Simmons come up and they play, and we had really poor audio facilities for them, so everything was feeding back, and Tom Johnston was beating the microphone. So 1999 is the end, right?
Yeah, it pretty much was.
Why?
Well, here was the deal. I really made an enemy of the big boss, the operations manager of the radio station.
There were a lot of changes through the 90s. There were, I don't know how many different GMs and PDs and everything
right.
else, but everyone moved on to different things.
And so many, we had been owned by three or four companies by just staying where we were. And we figured, well, these guys are idiots, but they'll be gone soon. You know, we've seen it happen.
Yeah.
I don't know what was the last straw with this guy who just didn't like me. But we had this thing, the Johnson & Tofty fax letter that we faxed out to people, and it eventually became just a digital thing. But we would always put a copy of the letter up in the lobby for anyone to read while they're waiting to talk about, you know, giving the station money for running their commercials and things. And I think it was the article about the woman whose private parts exploded with insects that rubbed him the wrong way and embarrassed him in some way. And finally, he just said,
that was probably one of the cases.
He said to us, and I'll never forget, you just effed with the wrong Marine. And if you ever hear that, nothing good is going to come of it, I found. And so we were gone.
I think there was also a case, though, where
there was a certain excuse he used.
There was like a Mr. Skin type of page, side page. That,
Oh, yeah. And a local
grocery store chain.
Yeah. Run by good Mormons who didn't really need to see all that.
They took offense.
Yes, they did.
And they were powerful enough that was strike three for us. Well, by that time, he had already thought that Mark and Brian were going to be it.
Right. And we found out later from the engineering department, which is the number one place to go in any radio station to find out what's actually happening. Because, you know, if you're going to make some changes, you got to have engineering put the wire the cables or whatever they do, right? So apparently Mark and Brian had been in the works for a couple of months.
Sure.
But they needed one good excuse to blow us out, because exactly 1 year before, we had the ratings had come back and we were number one in all the important demographic areas. And so they couldn't fire us then because they would look like idiots.
Yeah, that couldn't have been good for
right.
them.
So a year from them, we managed to give them on a silver platter the excuse they needed to get rid of us. And that was on 420, man, which was also Hitler's birthday. If we'd only gone with the 420 angle on that celebration, we stressed, we're not celebrating Hitler's birthday. We're condemning the man by having a listener bring in a German chocolate cake with a swastika on it.
Yeah.
So that I could run it over with my German Volkswagen.
Yes.
Dog.
Classic.
I'll never forget Jerry, the program director at the time, said, "Guys, this is fantastic. It's awesome. This is the funniest thing I've ever heard. It's great."
Moon Vomit, right?
Yeah, Moon Vomit, yeah. We called him. Uh-huh. And I remember, which was a riff on Howard Stern's Big Vomit. Yeah.
Yeah.
He just said how great it was and how hilarious. And I remember the late Dan Lee, God rest his soul, just laughing and everything, saying, that's, or it was either him or you, but one of you said, And it's been a great run, and hope you enjoyed our last broadcast.
Yeah, this is always how we envisioned it would be.
Right, and it turned out to be just that.
We got called into the...
And I'm telling you, maybe they won't fire us, and you're just shaking your head saying, I'm really with an idiot here.
Well, no, it was ridiculous, and you're right. It was because they were looking for some kind of an excuse, because that was about the lamest, most innocent thing.
Seriously.
You could still do something like that today. It's just... They were looking for it.
The Hitler angle, though, is always a dicey one.
It is.
And when you give a prize away from Ben and Jerry's.
And I think that we had Bryan Cranston on our show that morning.
What a spectacular last show.
He was in the studio. Yeah. And I remember having him on again just a few years ago and telling him that, I don't know if you're kind of the Dr. Death in this case, but every time you come in our studio, something bad happens. He thought it was funny what we did, too.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
So 1999, they let us go and we're on the beach and we're sitting here and we were in shock. Got a nice severance package, so we thought, oh great, we'll have a lot of time to sit back. And we had a couple of good people looking out for us. We had a couple of good opportunities in Houston and Detroit, I think it was.
Sure.
And in both cases, management changed, and so those who were interested in us left, and those things didn't happen for us.
Right.
And then it started getting to the point where we're...
Don't let me off the hook for this. Don't forget that the idiot who lost us our jobs also helped to get us blackballed in the industry in a pretty meaningful way.
Yes.
I was so freaked out, and this is totally honest, I had not been fired more than once. You know, we had been at KKLZ for so long.
Yeah.
I thought, this is a big mistake, and they just don't realize it. I said, if only the listeners could tell the head of the company, not just the general manager, not the operations manager, but the guy who runs the company. I thought, if I could just give out his email address and warn them, please, don't say anything bad. Just tell them what a big mistake they've made. Then surely they'll come around. Yeah.
How'd that work out
that
for us?
That didn't really work out for us, and I am the stupidest man in broadcasting still to this day.
Well, you have a job in radio right now, so who's stupid and who's not?
I'll turn it around on you and say, obviously, it's me. So there you go.
We ended up actually getting another job here in town at CBS Radio here in Las Vegas with this new format they were going to do. They were thinking about doing Hot Talk, which kind of landed us right back in our wheelhouse.
Yeah.
We could do all the fun stuff that we had been doing. We weren't going to be making a lot of money, but that's fine. We were just thrilled to have jobs again.
Sure.
So we went there and had fun for, I don't know how many months it was, or did 9/11 happen shortly after we were
on
the air?
It was a few months. It was a few months at least.
But we were doing, I think, the 9 to noon shift or something like that.
Yeah, because they liked Bob Rivers a lot and they wanted him to be the morning guy. And so for a while we were doing 9 to noon right after him.
Eventually we did move into the morning show slot and had a lot of fun until Janet Jackson and Justin Timberlake did the boob rip
at
the Super Bowl.
That's when radio died in a lot of ways.
In many cases.
Yeah.
The FCC really put the hammer down, not just on TV and live performances like that, but it just kind of ended what we were doing.
The only comparison I can make is when Saudi Arabia attacked our country and we went after Iraq. It's pretty much like, you know, pick the right target. They went after radio because TV, I guess, was way too lucrative to go after.
Yeah, so we got this list. I don't know how long the list was. It was several pages of what you could no longer do, and it just stripped our show to the bone.
There was nothing left.
Because we were having, not that we wanted to, but it was part of the whole package. We'd have people from the Chicken Ranch and stuff like that in the studio, and they were doing stuff, and that got really wild.
Air Force Amy. We had to
tools.
Oh, what an exciting show that was.
Yeah. Yes, it was. And so I understand now why Stern and Opie and Anthony fled to satellite radio, because they weren't going to be able to do what they could do.
We, too, tried to fly
to
satellite radio, and they had no idea what to do with us.
I kind of move on to working with these side sports networks. I worked for Sports Fan Radio Network, and we did try to get a gig with Talk America, which was looking very promising, actually.
That was close,
To do a morning show.
And we, the guy we were talking to was the little kid in the Tootsie Pop commercial where the owl says, "Three." You remember that? How many licks does it take to get to the middle of a Tootsie Pop? Just to grease the wheels a little bit, we went and bought a bunch of Tootsie Pops and gave them to him, and he smiled. A pile of Tootsie Pops. We thought, he'll love this. He'll dig that. Well, he had been getting free Tootsie Pops every month from that company for his whole life since he was a kid.
That was his payment?
Yeah, and that was nothing. So
he was about to hire us as the morning show.
Right.
Actually, we were in the same parking lot in industrial on East Tropicana as KKLZ was at that time.
Which is a little weird.
Which was weird. Yeah. So we went in there, it got close, and then it just disappeared.
Yeah.
That opening for whatever reason.
What reason was it? Do we ever know?
No, but I think that somebody said that that particular guy ended up going to prison.
Ah, very nice.
We have such a great track record.
Nobody picks them like us.
Then we, of course, when we worked at Hot Talk, we actually had a nice little team of people working with us. Angie Anderson doing the news, and we had Tommy Noodles and Heather, it's now Avila, who is the head of Weight Watchers here in Las Vegas.
Right.
But she was an intern at the time. They did great work for us. We really had a lot of fun over there at Hot Talk.
I think some of our best shows were from that period. And,
yeah.
And the problem was we were on AM and not that many people
Nobody
heard
was
them.
Listening.
Yeah.
Yeah. AMs are, it's tough
yeah.
in this town.
We had no bumper stickers and they sold the van. That was our promotions department. So
you left then for, you went back to Pennsylvania.
You had left because of a miscommunication with management and things like that, and we split up, and it was a little acrimonious, and it was...
You were still there.
I was still there.
At Hot Talk.
Trying to do a solo talk show on what had become Spike 1140. They, you know, tied in with the TV network.
I'm going to be honest with you, I never heard the show.
Yeah, you're lucky, man. for a year and change, it was me just trying to do 4 hours of talking by myself. I'd never done it, you know, and... I had, luckily, a guy named Derek who was the call screener, and he was kind of funny, and I enjoyed talking with him, and I thought, well, you know, he can help smooth it out a little bit.
He's still here in town.
Right, but the boss at the time, he did not like the way we sounded together, so he said, no, it's just going to be you. And so that was just...
That's helpful.
It was a hellish nightmare to try to invent a talk show on my own, you know, not only because I'd never done it, but because it was so much more work than when I would let you book all the guests and I would just come in and complain about it.
Well, we had a problem. We had a problem there anyway. We walked into this place, suddenly we're not playing music.
Right.
And they didn't have any commercials.
Right.
They had a PSA public service announcement that they'd run every 15 minutes or something like that, but it was hard. You really did have to package in about 4 hours worth of material. So we prepped and prepped getting ready for those shows. In the beginning, we were just so, you know, just in a panic. Eventually it got better. It was fun. It really was. And we had some very, very good shows.
It got to be fun. And then when you left, it was not fun anymore. And then eventually I was gone. So yeah, I did go to Pennsylvania. I went to Reading to start this station. And I liked that part about it. I was starting a station and not taking someone else's job away. So I like that.
It was brand new.
Yeah. Brand new station that was just converted from a religious station to whatever, you know, this was going to be. It was Frank FM and it was a family kind of thing. This is the first time I ever worked with a gal whose name is Jen Ryan. And she was amazing. And we had a great time. But we had enemies from the start because, you know, we took the station.
You're weeding out all the religious.
Yeah. We took the station away from God. And, you know, obviously we're going to receive our punishment for that. Because of the economy, they did an arrangement where they ran the place for a while but didn't finish the deal. By the time they were ready to finish the deal, the station's value was cut in half. And the guy who owned it would not budge on the price. And he said, this is a sign from God that I'm meant to take this back to the Lord. And so 50 people, boom, out on the street.
Oh my gosh.
Now he left the thing on the market just in case there would be another sign from God saying that somebody else would meet his price, you know, because that would also be a miracle. But in any case, yeah, I had 3 years and I was out and had to come back.
So you were
here.
There for 3 years.
I made it for 3 years. Yeah, that's pretty
nice.
Cool. It was then that I had the opportunity to make your dumb mistake and buy a house. I have no idea.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, to this point, I have no idea why I did it. I think it was just to keep my wife from going insane at the time. The wife I had at the time.
Was she working then?
She was working, and it was horrible. She hated her job because everybody was there was from there except her. And so she was perennially the outsider, and it was unfortunate.
When did you decide to come back here then? What motivated you to do that as opposed to just anywhere else?
Well, Jen said, you know, why don't we try to get a job in Philadelphia and stuff? Do you want to do that? She was sweet. I didn't think our team was ready for Philadelphia. I knew that she was because she had come from there, and I knew that I had to get my wife, Mary Jane, at the time, back here because she cried herself to sleep every night, which was a good hint that she wasn't enjoying it. And she also put her Nevada license plate up on the wall in the bathroom with a Catholic novena taped to it so that I would know that her every prayer and thought was to get the hell out of where I had brought her. And so
it's weird because she's from there.
Right. And I thought, oh, her sisters are there. This will be great.
Yeah.
There were some good things about it. But yeah, she hated. She was miserable there. And we finally returned here.
With nothing. But she would be able to find work fairly easy.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. She had a job before we came back here. And I just figured I'll be unemployed near my grandkids.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so that was the deal there. Luckily, I found Tony Bonici in a really good mood. And he came up with an idea. Why don't you?
At Lotus Broadcasting.
Lotus Broadcasting, the Fox and McKenzie show. He says, why don't you come and see what you can do with these guys? At first, it was going to be just doing some songs.
You had also approached me and said, is there anything open there?
Right,
and
right.
I said, not on your life.
That's right.
No, there was nothing. I was already working on a 3-man morning show.
Right, exactly. I lucked into being able to work with Fox and McKenzie, and where I am still to this day, and they're wonderful. I'm having so much fun over there.
So you kind of worked your way into being part of the show.
Right.
More than just the parody guy.
Right. And everyone was betting against me, which is how I love it. You know, not.
Who was betting against you?
Our buddy Jeff, who had become a consultant for that chain of radio stations. And he said, yeah, no, there's no way it's going to work.
Why?
Because my ego is so massive, which at a certain time it was, that I'll never be able to take on the role of third banana and make it work.
Although you're wearing a shirt that says, I'm really something, aren't I?
Right?
Yeah. What did they think? What did Fox and McKenzie think? Did they kind of worry, oh, they're bringing this guy in who...
They didn't have a choice. I was forced on them because that was the idea at the time. And I met them for breakfast and we had a really good meeting. And I just said, look, I just want to help. Whatever you want to do. They were asking me, you know, if I want to help you with the songs, is that okay? Yeah, of course. And everything. And it all turned out really good. Yeah, it could have. Again, chemistry. I had great chemistry with you for years. Years and years.
Yeah.
I had great chemistry with Jen in Pennsylvania. And it turns out the chemistry with us, on the point is fantastic.
And by the way, in Pennsylvania, I think that you had Small World, somebody interview for the job there, Charlie Kale,
right.
Who I ended up working with at KKLZ.
Yeah, it's crazy.
She's in San Francisco now.
I drove her back to the airport, which was a good 45 minutes, and told her the whole tale of woe about how you and I weren't speaking at the time and why that was. And she eventually got that tale back to you, and it was part of what got us talking again, which was nice. It's tough.
Yeah, for those who are wondering, we I suppose, didn't talk to each other for... I don't know how long it was, but it's not like you just walked in my house today and that was the first time we started talking to each other.
We've right.
had a couple of lunches together at least.
Sure.
And it's been very nice. But the radio business has a way of causing people not to speak to each other, some for a couple of years and some forever. There are people who, if you are fired from a radio station, I'm not going to name names, but you kind of have a way, and I think we did this too when we were let go from KKLZ.
Uh-huh.
We didn't speak to certain people
sure.
because they were there. There's yeah. almost like a survivor's guilt or something. I don't yeah. know what it is.
Oh, yeah. I was just talking with my wife, Lori, now, just a little while ago this morning. When you leave a radio station, that's it. You lose contact with everybody there because
yeah.
these are people who are really close to you. But the minute you're out the door, boom, the door
yeah.
shuts.
It's the case for me, as I learned.
Yeah, yeah.
I was out at KKLZ in October.
Uh-huh.
I think, I don't know, there were about a half dozen of us were let go at the time. And it's been nice to have some friendly emails and stuff like that. But as far as seeing many people,
right.
because I'm suddenly on the outside, I've seen it on both sides.
People, yeah, oh yeah. People really wish the best for you, but they don't want to catch what you got.
That's a good way to put it.
Yeah.
So the podcast is something that I kind of thought, I better do something because I know how long this process can take
sure.
of actually finding a radio job. So I started that almost immediately, started planning it. This particular podcast with you is the 31st episode,
nice.
And it's gone very well. We've now got a couple of local sponsors. It has been so much fun to be able to do interviews with people I'm interested in,
yeah.
not just those that we have to get on because it's a client.
Yeah, and there's no time constraints. Like
exactly.
We need you to talk to the most famous guy in the world, and you got 3 minutes, go.
Yeah, but I've been able to talk to, you'll know all these people. Eric Roberts was one of the first interviews I did on this show, and he was fantastic. Carrie Elwes from Princess Bride was great. Clint Malarchuk,
nice,
the goalie from the Las Vegas Thunder.
Old Zipperneck, yeah.
His story is just amazing because he was one of the best guests we ever had on the show. I told him that. He remembered us, too, the podcast. Wow. He talks about it, and he's in a good place now, but man, I tell you.
And his problem was largely just, and I don't mean to belabor, but his problem was basically that everything he had done up till his neck got cut and everything he did after, it was all just, you know, forgotten because of the incident. The incident became his career.
He didn't realize that he was coping by drinking, and it's just an amazing story, and one that I think he said movie makers are looking into as a screenplay right now. Randy Bachman has been one of the best people that I've interviewed.
No kidding.
Talked to him in London. You heard the Wrecking Crew episode.
Yeah, that was awesome.
John Lodge from the Moody Blues, Ed Begley Jr.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just been a lot of fun to be able to do this. Will I get back into radio again myself?
Yeah, you will.
Yeah, we'll see.
You can't keep a good man down. And part of doing the podcast, just because you want to do it for yourself, and that's an important reason, but it's also, it shows people that you got to do this. It's in your blood.
I wonder if I would have gone insane without doing the podcast. I really do.
I wonder if anyone could tell.
And so that's where we leave you, ladies and gentlemen. But I don't know what else to say except that we could probably do this again sometime.
I would love to do it when we could take questions from people, because I don't really know what people, you know, if there's anyone left.
That's true.
Wants to know.
We talk to each other about anything. All that stuff.
Sure.
It's funny, though. I was telling you that when I posted on Facebook that there is a rumor that Johnson and Tofty might be doing this podcast at some point in the future.
Right.
It lit up. I mean, there were a lot of people who were interested, and there were a lot of people like Jeff Murphy, who we worked with, and Jeff Anderson, who had these little cute, snarky jokes.
Grumpy old men jokes are the best.
They are.
They're wonderful.
But I know it's true what you say, though, that people have their own questions about it. I had thought about having, you know, Ron Futrell or someone like that, you know, do kind of an interview with us as opposed to us interviewing each other.
All I ever wanted when we were together was enough time to be able to properly archive our best of material. And when the time finally came, I realized nobody wants to hear this. And so it didn't work out.
You know, there were people, though, right to the last second that I was working at KKLZ who we were getting calls every week or two from people who said, do you have any of those Johnson and Tofty tapes or CDs?
What an amazing thing that was. Started out with one cassette, and eventually we were selling box sets of CDs.
And I thought it was the dumbest idea you ever had to sell those.
Until we became multi-millionaires.
We actually did make a couple bucks off of those.
That was pretty cool.
Before the lawyers got in.
Yeah, later on we realized, you know, charity would have been good. We could have given some of that to
charity.
We
gave, I think, a penny.
Okay.
So where are you off to now, Ken Johnson, at this time of the day, which is 11 a.m.?
11 a.m. I'm off to take a nap and then sit around and watch TV for hours.
I remember naps.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't take naps anymore.
Yeah.
You don't need to. This is the hot lifestyle that everyone covets.
It's beautiful.
Just saying.
It is beautiful. I am a Summerlin housewife, officially. I went grocery shopping this morning into the gym.
Very nice.
All right. Thank you for coming by, my friend.
Man, thanks for having me. This was fun.
Never again. Great to see my friend, and we will do it again. Check out all of the Fake Show episodes at thefakeshow.com, also on iTunes and SoundCloud. Music provided by Eli Cash and Low Key Productions. And I leave you now with one more little piece of ear candy from our immature past. We used to call people right out of the phone book. Remember those? If they had a funny name, we'd call them. And in this case, the guy's name was Dick Wiener.
Hello?
Yes, Dick Wiener, please.
Who?
Richard, Dick Wiener.
Is Richard there, please?
Yes.
May we speak with him?
Hello?
Hi.
Yes, Mr. Wiener, can we speak with Richard, please?
Hold on a minute.
Sure.
Hello?
Hi, is this Dick Wiener?
Who is this?
Well, who is this?
Who do you want to speak to?
Dick Wiener!
He's not here. Now, who are you?
Where is he?
What's the difference where he is? Who are you?
Don't you like to keep track of where he is?
That wasn't very nice. That's it. No Christmas card.
Hello?
Hi, how come he got so mad at us?
Well, you don't ask who you're calling for.
Oh, we did. We wanted to speak to Dr. Dickie Wiener.
Dr. Richard Wiener?
Yeah.
He doesn't live here.
Well, how come we called then?
Pardon?
Yeah, why'd we call then?
We call you then.
Yeah.
Well, I know you called us there, but
yeah.
he doesn't live here.
Well,
this is his mother, and he does not live here. We live here.
Hi, Mrs. Weiner.
How come he doesn't live
it's
there?
It's Weiner, not Weiner.
Well, who's the guy who got so mad at us?
My husband, okay?
Is that Weiner Sr.?
Pardon?
Is that Mr. Weiner Sr.?
It's Mr. Weiner Sr. We pronounce it Weiner.
Well, I'd pronounce it Weiner, too, if my name was Dick Weiner.
You're being very, very...
No.
Okay.
Ma'am.
Darling. For Dick's and also
Thanks for tuning in to the Fake Show podcast. Remember to like us on Facebook and follow along on Twitter.